Good morning, beloveds. Psalm 78, and it's verses 19 to 22. And we've seen here the typology here is that the Lord is all the Lord is talking here about. There's no typology involved here. The Lord is just talking about here when he's saved the Israelites and he's taking them on a journey to the promised land, and he's not pleased with them. From verse 19
they
to 22.
Spoke against God, saying, "Can God spread a table in the wilderness? He struck the rock so that water gushed out and streams overflowed. Can he also give bread or provide meat for his people?" Therefore, when the Lord heard, he was full of wrath. A fire was kindled against Jacob. His anger rose against Israel, because they did not believe in God and did not trust his saving power.
And all this was they didn't believe in him, so there was lack of belief, and they did not trust his saving power. And so you see, I mean, they saw mighty miracles delivered out of Egypt, the sea right before them, Pharaoh and his armies right behind them, and then the sea opens up and they are saved and Pharaoh and his armies perish. And then they still grumble, "Can God feed us?" And then he gives them water. "Oh, that's great. But what about food? We had at least we had food there in Egypt." And then he gives them bread. And then they complain about the bread. "What's something to put on the bread? Where's the meat?" And God was angry about this. So I can understand this. You know, it's been a leader for many years in the ark, taking the Joshua team, the youngsters out and the disciples out, and later on in El Petra ministry, the tours, outreaches into Africa or to the Orange River or wherever. And, you know, when you're a person that has done it before, and you know where you're going and the whole plans, you set things out according to your superior knowledge and understanding. And when you got people constantly, I'm thinking about the hikes now into the mountain. You got the gluttons that just want to eat all the time, and you got the clevers. So it's that type of thing. But when you've been there before, you know you're going to stop there, and there you're going to have lunch because there's a little river as well, and there's nice fresh water to drink. And there you're going to stop as well because it's going to be a beautiful view. So your superior understanding, and then the love of wanting to give the best to your disciples, best to those people that are with you, it's what sets your boundaries and why you're doing certain things. But when people don't understand that, they can be a problem, that it aggravates you. And this is exactly the same. God has made us, God's got a plan for us, and God wants to bring about that amazing love, not the what we think is love. And we got 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where he speaks about the whole thing of taking Egypt out. And he says that was all example for us to understand. And then he speaks about them through immorality and idolatry and for grumbling. What's the other one? Sexual idolatry, sexual immorality, grumbling and testing the Lord. He says these are examples. You know, God, when you're a disciple, you're not there to be a grumbler. You got to learn to be content. This is not just a person that knows a certain trail that you're on, so he's guiding you, or someone taking you to a certain place. This is God, the Almighty, that predestined you in Christ, that knows the plans that he's got for you. And so your sexual immorality, I'm trying to get into every pants, Adam and Steve and Eve and Aline, all those things need to be put aside, because God knows us, and He knows what's going to satisfy. He knows that these deceptions that is coming through the evil one is just going to hurt you and your partner, and set a bad example in society. And grumbling, you know, don't like this, don't understand that. And we see that so much in with Egypt. There were times when the water wasn't, it was bitter, but when scientists now looked into the matter and they say, but that water would have healed them in so many ways and been beneficial for them, but it didn't taste nice. So everything doesn't taste nice in the path that you're walking, but you need to understand God has got a plan. And when you love someone and when you love God, you're not there to be grumbling and mumbling and testing and idolatry. Idolatry today would be your thinking you know better because of your influence in the world, because you've been worldly. So you come out of being worldly to learning to be a disciple. You've got to learn to curb that which you thought was right, and start now to tuning into God. The example of the Israelites coming out is so beautiful. You also were chosen by God, and you received the blood, and the blood's on your doorpost needs to be in your thinking, on your words, your attitudes, and your actions. And God has delivered you for a purpose, for a mighty plan. And so you need to stick with Him and not go into worldly knowledge, running after this, running after that, loving the world. You're there to love God because you understand He's got the best intention for you. And then you put aside the grumbling, you put aside the sexual immorality, those things you realize the evil one has taken hold of you for his purpose. Eh? You put that aside. And you don't test the Lord. You stay within the boundaries of the Word, within the boundaries of God's leading. And this is the way that we can be the fragrance that God made us to be, the light and the salt in the world. Amen. So be encouraged. This one is so that is leading us and has got a plan. He's got a plan and he's got a purpose. He's so superior to going on a tour or going on to a hike with a guide that, you know, they know their story. And so they're going to present that which they're doing with love. You've got a God that loves you, that knows exactly what is set out for you each and every day. So stick with Him like glue and keep your focus and run the race in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.